This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. As we begin the fasting month this week, the Selangor government is ramping up its campaign to phase out the use of polystyrene, focusing its efforts in Ramadan bazaars across the state. Will traders and consumers, however, accept the trade-off of higher price of food? Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishikaran explains the challenges of implementing a campaign to remove a substance which can take up to 500 years to biodegrade. Rajiv, welcome to the show.
Hi, welcome. Thanks for having me here.
Last year, about this time exactly, we were discussing the challenges of regulating Ramadan bazaars. This year, however,
time has flown by.
I know. Here we are. This year, the state government is taking advantage of Ramadan by discouraging traders from using polystyrene. Can you tell us more about this campaign? I mean, when was it first conceived?
Well, I think this whole idea of cutting down polystyrene use has been in the works for quite some years. In fact, moves to create awareness of this has been there. We've seen articles in papers, magazines from time to time, and even discussions of it. And I think it's about time that, you know, we actually move to the action stage of this. This matter, I think this has not come as a surprise to a lot of people, this move, banning polystyrene. In fact, the state government has had self-imposing bans on themselves before this already. So, you know, in state government functions, you know, it is restricted. So it is not a sudden idea that we are putting out this year to the people, but it is something that has been in the works for a number of years.
How big is the issue of polystyrene use in Selangor?
Well, I think it's big. Nearly every food outlet would sell you food in a polystyrene container. I think at least half of the functions that you go to in would serve in polystyrene containers, cups and plates, rather than paper ones or biodegradable ones. So I think it's huge. And, you know, it is not just a problem in Selangor, but it's a problem throughout this whole country.
If we look at Penang, which was actually the first state to impose restrictions on plastic bags and polystyrene, they cited clogged drains filled with plastics and the high incidences of dengue cases as the reasons for doing so. Is the Selangor case comparable? Is that what we're dealing with?
I think that is comparable. Now, those are very valid concerns to go down this road, but I think it's more than that. Waste in the polystyrene itself has many damaging properties, from the production to the number of years it takes to compose or degrade in the landfill. But I think one of the big damages is that in Selangor, as with the rest of the country, a lot of our waste does not end up in the landfill. You know, if people were to throw it all their waste in proper dustbins that gets collected by the municipal council and goes to landfill, that will definitely minimize the problems. But a lot of waste is just disposed of by the roadside. You know, when you throw your drink packet, your food packets in a padang by the roadside, they get washed into a drain and then they get flowed down into a river. And this builds up, adds up rubbish. It causes this blocks in drains and rivers, and yes, it could even lead to cases of dengue breeding grounds. So that's entirely possible.
Polystyrene, it takes forever to biodegrade. How much longer can our landfills sustain this use of polystyrene without course correction?
Well, I don't think it's entirely an issue of sustaining the landfills. There is an urgent need to reduce the amount of waste we produce. 1 point something kilograms per person per day in Selangor. It's a huge amount of waste that we generate every day. So that has to reduce. It is not just the polystyrene waste. If you're talking about landfills, it is just waste in general. I think food waste is especially big amount of waste that we as a Malaysian society generate. We have to work on cutting that down. But I think when it comes to polystyrene, it goes beyond the landfill. It goes to waste in general that is damaging, especially when these polystyrene containers, cups, plates and whatnot get washed into our waterways, and then they clog drains, they clog rivers, they pollute the rivers, they become environmentally damaging that way. So whereas, you know, a paper cup or paper plate will biodegrade very fast in the river, polystyrene will not. So that is where the damaging is extra large as compared to biodegradable options for food packaging.
5 years ago, Selangor banned the use of polystyrene at government events. What is holding us back from just having a complete ban?
I think this is an issue of buy-in. If you look around today, the Malaysian consumer is still very comfortable purchasing food items in polystyrene packages. We see very few instances where people bring their containers, their Tupperwares from their house to buy nasi lemak from the morning, you know, nasi lemak stall, or to buy any other food from any other stalls or shops. We don't see Malaysians having that consciousness in them to do that. So the public acceptance or the public awareness has not reached that level that makes it easy to just slap on a ban simply like that. So it has to probably come in stages. And I think what Selangor has done has shown leadership by example, having itself stop using it, or at least doing its best to instruct all its caterers, its contractors to stop using it at government functions as a first step, leadership by example. And now it's time for society at large to start adopting this practice.
That's the question that we'd like to hear from you guys about. You know, would you be willing to pay more for food to phase out polystyrene? Because that, of course, is the next logical step. Firstly, do you bring Tupperwares to tapau food when you go out? Because if you do, tell us. We'd love to hear those kinds of stories. And if you don't, then what do you feel about the polystyrene ban? Would you be willing to pay more in order to phase this out and save our environment? That number to call, 03-7710-9000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, what is the role of local councils in ensuring that a ban on something like polystyrene works?
Well, local councils would be the regulating authority for business licenses. And with that comes the avenue to create conditions on businesses such as this polystyrene ban. So with that, the local councils are one of the authorities that can take the lead, the step to go ahead and impose regulations upon businesses, food outlets, roadside stalls, council, Medan Celeris and whatnot, to get traders to stop using it. So they are one of the authorities that can do that.
But you can't just, for example, why can't the federal government just outright ban of polystyrene?
Oh, they certainly could. It is certainly within their capacity, their powers to do so. I think that's a good question for the federal government to answer if you get a representative on this show in the future. But having said that, it is not an outright ban probably that is going to be the fix-it in Malaysia. What the federal government could also do better is that they have radio stations, television stations, they control a lot of the media out there, and the education process, the awareness process can certainly move much faster if the federal government took an active role in making some changes in this aspect. Now, we don't see that level of seriousness, but that can start to come in. The second thing the federal government could do is probably to start creating financial incentives because things like tax on polystyrene materials could kick in, and that could cross-subsidize the biodegradable options to start leveling down the price. Because today, I think everyone who's listening to this will probably be aware that there is a price gap between the environmentally good products and polystyrene. So how do we bridge that gap? Because that is one of the key factors to persuade traders and consumers to make the switch. So that is also something that is beyond controls of local councils in this country, that will be more on the federal government's level to impose such mechanisms to help move society faster down this road.
So with this campaign in particular, how will local councils be enforcing it? Are there going to be inspections? I mean,
Yeah, what? Local councils in not just in Selangor but in the rest of the country, they all have enforcement officers. So you got a few hundred enforcement officers in the bigger ones, like in PJ, Subang Jaya, Shah Alam. So yes, there has to be inspections. There needs to be consistent enforcement, in my opinion. I think this is one of the challenges we face in Malaysia: consistent enforcement. It must not be a blitz of enforcement when we kick off, and then things get forgotten or our attention gets diverted to the next big thing. But there must be regular enforcement. So every day there must be a KPI set. So this is something that I would urge all the local councils to set parameters or KPIs that how much of enforcement are we going to do every day or every week to stamp this out. It's a mix of education and enforcement. I don't prescribe the full fine amount, although, you know, local councils can fine up to R1,000, but they don't have to go to that extent in the start of the enforcement. Smaller fines can come in first to as part of creating the awareness, and slowly we build it up. As more and more people comply, I mean, we need to use harsher fines on the most stubborn traders among us.
You mentioned the price gap earlier, yes. And I can imagine somebody, you know, selling something at a huge markup or a relatively huge markup, saying, well, you know, I can't use polystyrene now, so, you know, unfortunately I had to pay more, so you yes. understand. Do local councils have the resources to monitor and regulate food prices?
No. In fact, that will be under the Ministry of Domestic Trade to monitor food prices. But what the local councils could encourage is the education process, like what MBPJ is doing now. So for MBPJ, we have set a target of the starting date for this is 1st September. There's a few more months to go. And MBPJ has been having many rounds of dialogue with traders, with Pasar Malam groups, with morning market groups, restaurants and so on, to create awareness of alternatives, give people the education as to what are the options that they can have. So they are more aware of the various alternatives, and that comes to help guide traders in how they can best move forward without polystyrene. So that is something local councils can do. They are doing that. And I have no doubt when the use of polystyrene starts to drop and the use of biodegradable options start to pick up, the economics of scale to produce them would start to improve. And in time, you would see a reduction in prices for those.
I'm speaking today with Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishikaran. We're talking about, a campaign to phase out the use of polystyrene, focusing right now on Ramadan bazaars or params, because obviously, it's the season. If you've got any questions about polystyrene and how this campaign's going to work, and more importantly, we want to hear from you. Would you be willing to pay more for food to phase out the use of polystyrene? Are you okay with that? Are we okay with a little bit of inconvenience for the sake of our environment? Give us a call. That number is 03-77-109000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon. You are listening to The Bigger Picture. I am Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishikaran. And we're talking about going polystyrene free, you know, trying to phase out the use of polystyrene, especially with Pasar Ramadan's getting, you know, it's the season really for it. And we're asking you, would you be willing to pay more for food to phase out polystyrene? Would you be willing to turn down polystyrene? Would you be willing to tell your favorite vendors, look, stop using this? And, you know, that would make me happier. Give us a call. That number is 03-77-109000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. So the state government is urging all 12 local councils in Selangor to suggest alternative food packaging ideas. Right now, what do we have?
Well, we do have. I mean, when it comes to food packaging, it's relatively straightforward. The clamshell kind of boxes is quite the standard in the market. And in fact, there are many brands, many options out there. In fact, if you just Google it, you would find various options that are biodegradable. So that in itself is not very big of a challenge. But I think it's more of the awareness of making the switch. You know, why do we want to make the switch? And I think you asked a very good question earlier. Would you, as a consumer out there, be willing to to tell your favorite vendor, your favorite chicken rice stall, your favorite nasi lemak stall, hey, make the switch. You know, I don't want my food in polystyrene containers anymore. Would you be willing to go to that step? Would you change the shop that you normally buy from because they have not made the switch? And I think that is one of the keys in making this push a success. It has to also be consumer driven. It cannot only be local councils cracking the whips at the traders. That is possible, but that would take a longer time for us to achieve the success that we hope for.
Some questions now from listeners. Hello, following the ban at government functions, why don't you also extend the ban to civil servants? I see shops and cafeterias at government buildings where civil servants are using plastic bags where buying even the smallest of things.
Yeah, so those things are coming in. The ban on polystyrene is not exclusive at the Ramadan bazaars, but if you look at Shalam, they have staggered four stages in which all shops eventually by next year would stop using polystyrene. PJ, 1st September this year, they're going to stop. All shops, all businesses are going to stop. So that will include the ones in government departments.
We have a call from Peggy. Good afternoon, Peggy.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Your question?
My question, I don't have a question. I just want to contribute my idea about this styrofoam thingy.
Sure.
I think there's no need to pay more to pack food. And number two, there's no need to change your vendor. You just have to change yourself. For me, I just bring my tiffin carrier when I need to pack food.
All right. Yes, Peggy. In fact, that is one of the things we talked about in the start of the show. How many of us out there would be willing to bring your own Tupperwares or your tiffin carriers to pack your food? And if that's the case, yeah, certainly there's no excuse for any traders to charge a single cent more than they do today.
It's true. And the other thing, we should learn from Penang State. They simply don't use plastic bags anymore. If you go shopping, you just have to bring your own recyclable bag.
Yes, that is something that's good. In fact, let's hear from more callers today. How many of us would be willing to go down that road to not only suffer no plastic bags on Saturday, but every day to bring your own shopping bags? It's a habit that we have to develop. Would we keep shopping bags in our cars so that when you have to go into the shop unexpectedly, you already have a shopping bag in your car, or maybe keep a shopping bag in your handbag? So what kind of lifestyle changes are we ready to take on ourselves so we can as society get there? It is not just the government whipping everyone into shape. You know, it doesn't work that way. We don't want. I think none of us will enjoy a paternalistic government, but it is a government encouraging, educating, and also society embracing things that makes our planet better off. That improves environment that we want to enjoy.
For what it's worth, I mean, I have been carrying a shopping bag around with me for years, and it's really not that hard. I mean, people complain about the plastic bag Saturdays, but it's not that hard. And, you know, people make very small, lovely little carrier bags. Just saying.
Yes.
If you would like, if you'd like to contribute today, we're talking about going polystyrene free. You know, are you willing to take that little extra bit of effort and bring your own Tupperware, you know? Try to do your part towards improving the environment, bring your own shopping bags around. And would you be willing to ask the people selling you your food to do the same? Because I think that is obviously the next step. If you'd like to give us a call, 03-77-109-000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we have quite a few people talking about this plastic bag issue. So let's start with that. Ban on plastic bag campaign has not progressed. Supermarkets are giving away bags even on Saturdays, which I have noticed.
Okay.
And why is that? Why has that worsened?
All right. So I think that is a situation that needs enforcement. And if anyone can drop in notes, your local councils of shops, supermarkets that are giving away these plastic bags for free on Saturdays, that would be against the policy. So that requires enforcement. So we also did talk about that a few minutes ago. It is not just at the beginning of a campaign that we need enforcement, but enforcement needs to be continuous and consistent to keep the policy going.
That same person who's pointing out the supermarket plastic bag issue also said, my parents use Tiffin carriers, another Tiffin fan.
Wow, okay. We've got a second call. Second contributor.
Yes. And this has taught me to make the extra effort to be caring by bringing Tiffins and containers. Substituting packaging that's more eco-friendly isn't a lot more costly. And if big and small businesses can practice good CSR, then this would change consumer consumption and help the national waste problem. Why not reward and acknowledge those that do that and run awareness programs amongst the foreign workers who litter, and for Ramadan, bring your own container and shopping bags?
Okay, that's good ideas. In fact, Subang Jaya is doing that. They gave away a number of Tupperwares, different carriers, that people could use to pack food at the Ramadan bazaars. So that's something we can continuously improve on, and appreciate all the suggestions given.
Yeah. There is an interesting point here about foreign workers. Now, I'm not saying foreign workers are the only people who litter, certainly.
Yes.
But are there targeted campaigns to try and reach out? Because there might be language barriers. There might be. I see, for example, in my taman, I see little signs put up saying, you know, please don't litter and so on. But they're written in English or in Chinese or in Malay even. And that's not really a language spoken by
everybody. I think that's a good point that we have today, that the local governments need to diversify the language that we use in messaging. We've done that for dengue, in trying to deal with dengue, because that has been a very serious problem. That has gotten better in the last few weeks compared to the earlier part of this year. But when it comes to polystyrene and waste, that is an excellent suggestion that our local councils should look into. I do notice, though, a lot of foreign workers do have their own tiffin carriers. I presume it's because they cook in the morning from where they stay and carry the food to work, and that's why they use containers. So that's something that Malaysians could learn from also.
Thomas says, our department is a moderately sized department in one of the general hospitals in Klang Valley. Our staff has taken a conscious decision not to use polystyrene packaging to pack food.
Awesome. I was just having a conversation with you before we started on whether BFM has taken the move to ban polystyrene from its offices.
Yes, and I just kind of looked away in shame. If you have...
But to your credit, you know, I came early today, so around lunchtime I was already here and I didn't see polystyrene packaging. So.
Well, you came on a good day.
I came on a good day.
If you'd like to contribute to the subject of trying to go polystyrene free, do you bring your own Tupperwares? Have you put in a personal polystyrene ban? We'd love to hear from you. That number to call, 03-771-09000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at PFM Radio. Now, on this plastic bag thing, since it's related, so if we are offered plastic bags on Saturday when we're out at supermarkets, who should we call to complain to? I mean, are there enough resources right now for that kind of enforcement?
There will never be enough resources for enforcement for everything. I mean, to have enforcement check everything every day, everywhere. That is where public feedback always helps. Now, enforcement must be regular, so it is always a spot check. And that may be at different places on different days. So that has to be regular. But public feedback is important and crucial. Just write to your local council. Most of the councils have aduan at then mppj.gov.my or aduan at mpsj.gov.my. You should get a response in a few days from writing in. That has been the standard throughout most local councils in Selangor. So yes, do write in, do share. You would divert enforcement officers over there with your complaint.
We need plastic bags for rubbish at home. How do we solve this problem then of not collecting bags when grocery shopping?
They are biodegradable options actually for rubbish bags. So those have made their place into the market, and I would urge listeners to actually consider them.
Now, why hasn't Selangor government introduced waste separation? This is another question from a listener. This would then help to segregate biodegradable waste.
Okay, so we have actually gone into waste separation. A rather different approach from KL. So I think this is where listeners out there can see the policy approaches by both DBKL and in Selangor. It is very different. So in Selangor, there's been a number of trials, more pilot projects in smaller groups. where more hand holding can be done to get people on board, as well as the pilot projects have enabled us to understand consumer patterns and whatnots in moving this. So what started end of last year has continued on this year. So in PJ, we have four locations. So in the Bukit Gasing area, a part of Section 11 and Section 16, PJ has been included in this trial. So they are still recycling. I think the big bang approach by KL sounds good for the papers, for the pictures, but I have my doubts because I know a lot of people living in KL, and many of them are not really aware what to do, and many of them are not practicing it yet. So just by having a few pictures of enforcement in the papers does not necessarily make 1.8 million people change their behavior overnight. So it's a different approach that is being developed in Selangor, where focus is given on smaller groups and that's being expanded. So every local council was supposed to start with one. So PGA has expanded to four areas, and that expansion should expand again into maybe 10 to 20 areas soon. And I hope that ultimately both KL and even Selangor with different approaches will reach the same objective of actually getting households to separate their waste. Not just having good programs in name, but actually achieving the results on the ground.
As you rightly point out, you can't just roll out a campaign and expect everybody to get on board at the same time.
It just doesn't work that way.
So with this campaign, how has it been received by traders and the small business community?
This is why, like in the case of MBPJ, there's been many rounds of dialogues, small sessions where the importance of changing from polystyrene is explained, the options, the green options are also explained to them. This is to create awareness and understanding and to give them the chance to question and maybe even give some counter suggestions. So there is engagement ongoing right now, many months away from the due date, 1st September. Their engagement has already started. So and that is not the kind of engagement where we gather all the Pasar Malam traders into a hall of 3,000 people and blast them with information, but rather it is small groups at a time. So it is happening. It's easier to engage traders, I guess, because you control their business license, as opposed to in the case of waste separation where you're engaging millions of households. That would be a much harder thing to engage.
Looking at news reports, it seems like some food traders feel like they're being punished with the campaign, and they believe that the government has a responsibility to subsidize some of the cost. Do you sympathize with this?
I mean, I do sympathize with the pains that some of them go through, but I think there is no selective persecution here, because you know everyone has to make the switch, so it's going to affect food traders across the board, no matter what you sell.
Right. There are also some quarters, like the Malaysian Plastic Manufacturer Association, who insist that polystyrene neither harms our health nor our environment. How strong is the pushback and pressure from the industry?
Not to myself personally. I've not felt them going after me. Maybe after this show they might start. But one thing that we can see, you know, if you were to just Google up news on this, is that it is not just in Malaysia. It's various countries around the world that are moving in this direction of banning polystyrene. It is also many states in Malaysia that is going in this direction. So you've got a question that everyone can't be wrong to go down this road. So there are concerns in the big picture. So we maybe avoid getting stuck into micro arguments, but if we look at the big picture, the production of this polystyrene emits a lot of harmful gases, which harms our environment. The disposal of this polystyrene, and half of them would end up outside the landfills, also harm the environment very badly. Putting hot food into these polystyrene containers also is harmful. I think I've seen a number of articles on how the toxins get released, and that's harmful to our health. So, you know, from the production to the consumption to the disposal, there are a lot of damage to the environment. And this is something that affects society at large. Not just affects the consumer who uses it, but it affects society at large. And I think that's where government steps in to control these kind of substances. So I think in the case of Selangor, we have been extremely slow moving on this. As it is, it has been talked about for years before a push has been put in to actually ban it this year in a number of councils. So it is not something that was just like thought of last month, and this month we're like, okay, everyone stop it, because you know last month we just had an idea to do it.
Let's look, well, briefly from a listener, I support no polystyrene. Can't you stop the manufacturer from manufacturing it or from importing it?
That would import preventing people from importing it. That would be within the purview of the federal government. Preventing people from manufacturing within Selangor could be done by Selangor, but manufacturing can easily happen in neighbouring states.
Right, so. And it wouldn't even be importing. You'd just be taking it in from
yes.
another state. Let's close off by looking at just tying together some loose ends.
Sure.
Earlier we had a call from Alfred who said he... When he called in to talk about, I think, a traffic compound, what happened was he was transferred from department to department to department within MBSJ. Now,
okay.
For many of our shows, you have been urging the public, you know, to write in, to communicate, to,
okay.
you know. So what happens when you're faced with people like Alfred, for example, who've been trying?
Okay. Well, Alfred, may I suggest that for the respective councils, they all have a complaint hotline. And the bigger ones like PJ and Subang Jaya, they operate 24 hours. That we call these complaint hotlines, because the complaint hotlines... 7954-2020 for MPPJ, they are the one-stop centre to receive any sort of complaints. But when you call the direct lines of specific departments, you may end up in the wrong place, and then they would transfer you to the right place or attempt to transfer you to what they think is the right place. That's when some of the frustration can come in. So unless you know a particular officer that you're trying to contact, I would urge all listeners to contact the general complaints hotline if you prefer to contact your local council by phone. Personally, maybe I'm on the younger generation, I'll prefer to drop in an email. I think that's faster. I get it done in 20 seconds, 30 seconds on my phone. And that's an alternative if you want. Most of the local councils is aduan@yourcouncilname.gov.my. So in PJ, it's aduan@mbpj.gov.my or aduan@mpsj for subangjaya.gov.my. And they will reply you within a few days.
Quickly, to look at other forms of waste, not just polystyrene.
Oh, sure.
Selangor recorded the highest volume in e-waste collection since 2013. Where and how should we dispose our electronics?
I think Selangor records the highest collection in any form of waste.
That's very disheartening, actually.
It's also a fact, because Selangor has 5.5 to 6 million people.
Yeah.
By far the most populous state in the country. The next most populous state is less than half of its population. So to be fair, I would say Selangor generates the most of anything good and bad with a larger population. But when it comes to e-waste, there are a number of collection points that we have around the Klang Valley. You see them in shopping malls. We see them in electronic manufacturers like Samsung and all that. They have their e-waste collection. So those are the places that we can put in our electronic waste instead of throwing it in a dustbin. So just like bring it along with you to your shopping mall the next time you go to, and drop it in that e-waste collection box that you see there. That would definitely help the environment.
And finally, related back to what we started with polystyrene, 9,000 tons of unfinished food is wasted every day during Ramadan, at least according to the Solid Waste and Public Cleansing Corporation. Are we doing anything about this?
That is a challenging problem to overcome. I think the nature with Ramadan bazaars especially is that the window of trading is a very short one, and people finish work up to about 7 p.m. and then they want to get home in time for the breaking of fast. So that window is very short. So the food is often produced beforehand or in quantities where the traders would hope to be able to sell. That would definitely generate a lot of waste. Food prepared to order is quite challenging under the environment. So hoping that traders estimate better. maybe somewhere down the road we could impose a fine on wasted food. At the moment, local councils in Malaysia do not charge per kg or per ton of waste that is being disposed. So maybe that's something that we can do down the pipeline. So changes of behavior have to come step by step. It just doesn't work when you slam them all with every policy change one shot.
A listener says, can you consider the problem of mineral water bottles littering roads and drains and waterways everywhere? Taman Ta Ampang, for example, is a huge problem. Moreover, there is an absence of litter bins. Those that exist are just left unemptied. Thank you.
Yes, that's an interesting thing. I think one of the things that I was in Perth this year, and one of the things I noticed there was water fountains on the streets. And maybe if we have water fountains in our streets, as long as people don't vandalize them, we could probably minimize people the usage of water bottles, mineral water bottles.
And more bins?
And more bins, yeah. The issue of throwing things in bins, it's also a behavioral thing. If you're willing to wait a few minutes, you will get back to your car. No one parks so far away anymore nowadays. So you can resist throwing things on the roadside if you have the consciousness to do so. That's something that we've got quite a long way to go in educating the public.
What would your final message be then on waste and polystyrene this Ramadan, but particularly waste, because I think we're going to generate a lot of it?
I think it comes down to our behavior as consumers. It is not just up to the government to make changes. One of the examples I got visiting Singapore a number of years ago was when they were telling the stories of how they migrated the markets from selling meats openly, like how we see the traders selling meats in the market here in PJ, in the Klang Valley, or in fact anywhere in Malaysia, to refrigerated compartments to preserve the meat better and not have the meat decay. They encouraged the change not by just whipping the traders, but also by educating the public of the importance of the meat being refrigerated. And I think now the same analogy has to come in here in the case where we've got to be aware of the dangers of polystyrene, especially those who are ordering hot food, just being aware of how this it damages the environment. And that consciousness would probably kick in slower, but that would be one factor to motivate society to move away. So you start telling your trader, like, no, I don't want this polystyrene one. And you prepare some biodegradable option, or I'll bring my own container. I think that will also help move us further down this agenda of improving how we treat Mother Earth, as opposed to leaving it all to the government to whip the traders in shape. That's going to be a much harder and slower process.
Thank you very much for coming in. I've been speaking today with Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman. We've been talking about the attempt for Selangor, the state with the most of everything, good and bad, to go polystyrene-free. You are listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.